you may know, there have been unusual occurrences all over the world.
These were taken by one of our spy satellites 3 days ago.
We need a way to locate and intercept that object.
What is it?
We were hoping you could tell us.
It's here.
That's bad.
That's really bad.
We have to destroy this thing.
Your encounter with the surfer has affected your molecules. It could cause you to temporarily switch powers.
You like volunteer?
No!
Hey!
Oh my God! Come on!
You can't handle this alone.
Everywhere this thing goes, 8 days later, the planet dies.
All that you know is at an end.
Fuck this movie. Fuck this movie and its holy grail and everything that lives for it. I think this is the worst superhero franchise of all time.
How can you fuck up a comic book movie like this?
That's got so much cool sci-fi elements to it, right?
Yes.
And you didn't get a damn thing right this one.
This is like, I think I said this for Amazing Spider-Man 2. This is like fucking a science class movie.
For dummies.
For dummies, exactly.
It's in those how-to books. How to make a dumb superhero film by Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer people.
And how does this work? I know Marvel owns the characters. They're their creation, and they're part of the movie.
Yeah.
But they probably don't have much of a say, do they?
No. Marvel owns the characters and everything to it, but in the movie world, Fox owns the rights to Fantastic Four, along with Marvel. So either way, Marvel makes money off of it, but it's just not part of the Disney Marvel.
That's bullshit.
Well, people, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 51. I am the phenomenal one, MovieSourcePodcast.com, of course.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com.
And we're talking about one of the worst superhero movies of all time. No, it's not Batman and Robin, but...
It's on par.
You know what? This is the Marvel version of Batman and Robin.
No, this is the Fox version. Don't classify Marvel. Marvel has nothing to do with us. They are laughing. They laugh when they see this.
You know what? I'm going to pull this email I got up from, where did I get this email from? I'm trying to remember now. It might take me a while. Oh, it was an Amazon email saying, collect on a, here it go. Deal of the day, 68% Marvel bundle on Blu-ray. And guess what this Blu-ray comes with, right? You get X-1, X-Men 2, X-Men 3, Wolverine Origins, The Wolverine, Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, Daredevil, and Elektra.
Elektra?
Elektra.
Oh. So the movies that Marvel has nothing to do with in the movie franchise.
Pretty much the crappy ones, yeah.
I noticed a little trend there. Wait, was Futures Past wasn't on there?
What?
Futures Past wasn't on there? Or not Futures Past, First Class?
You know what, First Class is on there.
So oh.
You get a 10 Blu-ray set here, and only one of those movies are actually good.
Notice a little common trend there.
It's a common trend that these are Marvel's worst films is right here in my eyes.
Are those all... Is Daredevil and Elektra, is that Fox?
Yeah, it's Fox as well, too.
Fox should just give that shit up to Marvel.
They did, actually. Disney got the rights back to Daredevil, and they're going to do a Netflix series with it.
Yeah, that's something I can't wait for.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. The Netflix series start around the Avengers 2, so around next year, 2015, where we get all those minor character TV shows and shit. So
and they're probably all going to tie in with each other.
Exactly. Because unlike the X-Men movie that just came out, it ties in somehow.
You have not heard, have you heard that X, or that Hugh Jackman has said he wants to be in an Avengers movie so he can fight Hulk?
He's been saying that for fucking 3 years, man. he said, Hugh, it ain't happening, bro. Just stop talking about it. I'm pretty sure Fox one day is going to tell him, hey, brother, you work for us, so you better shut the fuck up and who you want to work with, all right? So, I don't know if you heard, but I just heard right now that he has skin cancer.
Jackman?
Yeah.
But he's invincible.
Someone was just telling me when I was doing my rounds earlier today, he was just like, did I see the X-Men movie? And he was just like, it's pretty messed up about Hugh Jackman, right? And I was just like, what's wrong about him? He's just like, I don't know if you saw him at the world premiere, but he had this band wrapped around his face or whatever, and when he took it off or whatever, he had like a mark on it where he's saying he's got skin cancer. It's pretty bad on him.
What?
I was like, damn, that's a shock for me. I was like, I never heard that news. So.
I'm looking it up.
I don't tell people yet because I literally just found this out like 20 minutes ago.
He says he has some growth. And he had one removed from his nose. Which I never paid attention if he had something in his nose.
I never really paid attention to him in general, but that's why when I found out, it was shocking news to me, because I was just like, well, that shows you how close attention I pay to him, man, because I didn't hear about this.
No, this was very hush-hush.
Yeah, well, because nobody gives a fuck about you, Jack. Anyway, though.
But God, how can an action movie, I don't know if this is considered an action movie, but how can a comic book movie be so boring?
Easy, Ben Steele.
That wasn't boring, that was just a spectacle.
It was mind-fucking.
That was just a spectacle how not to make a superhero movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
sorry, well, Cody.
You know, I really thought... Man, because you know, a lot of people say Fantastic Four is cheesy. They are very cheesy. I will give them that. But they had some great runs in the comic books here, and these two movies. My God.
Do you think the reason why one is maybe I don't think Tim Story because he's not that bad of a director, but do you think it's casting?
It's everything. Writing, directing, casting, direction on it is pretty fucking bad. I don't like Tim Story personally. That's just
he did Barbershop.
A black son of a bitch made Ride Along this year.
He did Barbershop.
I don't give a fuck about Barbershop.
Oh, he did do a lot of Think
he
Like a Man.
Fantastic Four films. How good can you be?
True.
Can you make that a... compared to something like Barbershop. I mean, come on now. He's one of them directors that can't handle big budgets.
He should have backed off the project like, what's his name? Of Ant-Man.
One of the first black directors to get a hold of a superhero film, though.
And there's not many black people in the movie. Kerry Washington was wasted.
Because of Tim's story, now we know why niggas don't get chances now. It's because of this nigga. He made this shit.
Yeah, but you know what? Just watching this, just thinking of the characters, they could really make this a really dark movie.
Yeah, Fantastic Four could be dark enough or whatever. It's got enough dark story. Their stories really revolve around space, too. But there's a lot. And plus, with the dark story could come between the Thing and Mr. Fantastic himself.
Yeah, I mean...
There was times where Thing was getting... He got really frustrated about Mr. Fantastic not finding a cure for him and shit like that. And it kind of led out to some deep part of drama there. But you don't get any of that.
No, you get a lot of forced comedy.
Oh, God, it's forced. Oh, my God. It's so horrible, too. Like, this must have been a starting point of what Disney saw. And it was just like... When we do our action comedy superhero film, we do not make them look like this.
Yeah, this was straight comic book.
Yeah, it really was. I don't think they took this serious.
I don't think so. I mean, the only bright side was Chris Evans. Because we know who he is now. It's Captain America. People are like, Human Torch, He was in Human. People forget he was in this movie.
Yeah, I remember that shit when I heard Captain America. I was like, what? Oh, hell no.
And then I remember when the first one came out, the outrage of Jessica Alba being Sue Storm. Because wasn't there something about that she wasn't right for the part?
To be honest, though, if you ask me, Sue Storm's character, there's a lot to do with her power. But as far as, like, her personal story or anything like that, it's not really much to it. So okay. I really didn't have a problem with the cast. Even the new one, I don't have a problem with any of the casting for Sue Storm or anything like that, because that character really doesn't add anything to the team besides her power. Her powers are more interesting than the actual human being. Sue Storm is... Okay, let me put it this way. Invisible Woman is more important than Sue Storm herself.
Yeah. And that's where they kind of focus. They kind of focus more on the people, like Sue Storm and Johnny... Reed, and instead,
I think that's all wrong with Sue and John. I think the personal matter, if you really want to get, goes with the thing, and I don't think they really hit on that at all. And whenever they tried to in the first film, it was so ham-handed and weak as fuck that you didn't give a shit about nothing. But we had jumped already into it. How about a plot synopsis?
Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer, directed by Tim Story, starring Ian Gruford. I don't know his name. I don't know who the fuck he is.
Gruford. He was in Horrible Bosses. He played the piss-on guy. He plays Mr. Fantastic Reed Richards.
Jessica Alba. Chris Evans. Michael Chiklis. Julian McMahon. And Kerry Washington. Budget $130. Box office $200. Sorry. I was choking. $289 million box office. It's funny that Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer has already made more money than Spider-Man.
Damn. Oh, well, this movie's been out longer. fucking 2007 or whatever. Hey, give me a synopsis now.
It's the sequel to the original from Fantastic Four, where it's pretty much based around Reed and Sue's wedding, and then some anomalies start happening around the world, and they find the Silver Surfer and trying to stop him from destroying the world.
Which you already think when you see this, because in my eyes, when I saw when I heard Silver Surfer was going to be in this film, my first attention to this, oh shit, they setting up something big here, Galactus. Whenever the Silver Surfer is around, Galactus isn't too far away. So when you, like you said, that opening where they're getting married and then you see that silver thing fly by, I was just like, only 5 minutes into the movie and already we're getting into it. Okay.
It was actually like a half hour before he showed up.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn.
I checked it. I'm like, yeah, this is the slow starting movie.
And you see that? You're just like, alright, let's get into this shit. And then they spend the rest of the fucking movie. Silver Surfer's not a villain. He's a man. There's something else coming. It's just like, why don't y'all start building on this mythos of what Galactus is? Galactus is one of the biggest villains in comic book history. I mean, because he eats worlds, so, you know.
Just, isn't that the same thing as Parallax?
No, hell no. He's much... Parallax is a piece of shit. What he is. See, Parallax and Green Lantern, they fucked that all up. That ain't Parallax backstory. I already told you that, though.
Yeah.
But Galactus is this giant... He's fucking huge, matter of fact. He's bigger than fucking... I don't even know how to describe him. Or his head sticks out in space and shit. And he destroys worlds and shit like that because he eats them up or whatever for their knowledge.
He looks like he eats them from, like, the core.
He eats them from the core, that's right. And he has, like, these Imperials that they're probably just as strong as he is that come and scout for the world. Silver Surfer is one of them. And he's one of the biggest villains of all time in DC or Marvel or anything like that. And, you know, to see him on screen, that's like a Thanos setup. You know, you show a little teaser of him at the end of a movie, and then you build up for that guy to come in or whatever. In this movie, man, that motherfucker, this is why this movie was the biggest insult comic book hit. That motherfucker showed up as a cloud. I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I did. He was in it for like the last, what, 10 minutes?
10 fucking minutes, and he was a cloud silhouette. I was just like...
I did like that. I don't know if you saw, I think when the Silver Surfer was... Or they show like a... the. Him holding the earth, You can see it's like his hand was actually holding Earth.
It's like a silhouette of it.
Jeez, yeah.
I was just looking at that like, oh, that's some cheap bullshit right there.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want to scare the kids. I think this was a PG movie.
The Death Star in Star Wars, he fits in that whole damn thing.
Yeah.
That's how big he is. Or so when Silver Surfer said at the end of the movie, he's here. I was like, oh shit about to get deep up in here. I was like, Fantastic Four gonna stop him or whatever and shit. And then you see this cloud come, you're just like, where's he at?
But Galactus.
Fuck out! I said, "Fuck this movie! I'm out of here."
Galactus was. It wasn't like even a main point. First, they kind of imply Silver Surfer's the main villain. Yeah. Then, in reality, it was fucking Von Doom again.
Oh my! That fight scene was so weak with him and Johnny Storm.
Oh, when he had all the powers.
Yeah, that was. You would think that'd been cool, right?
You would think so.
I mean, Johnny Storm has all their powers, and Dr. Doom has a Silver Surfer's power. You would think that fight would be badass going at it, right?
Yeah, and he didn't die. He just got knocked into the fucking water.
And it lasted for, what, a minute? A couple of seconds?
I would say less than, like, 2 minutes.
It was boring as shit. I was just like, oh, my God.
And people know Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom, one of the top five Marvel villains as well.
Yeah, and he's like Lex Luthor. People know him.
As he has his own country and shit.
Yeah, and then it's how they portrayed him in both movies. It's kind of jokey.
He was so crowbarred into this movie. Like, I don't know what his purpose in the whole movie of this thing was. There really was no purpose of him. If they really wanted to introduce Galactus, they should have kept the movie focused on him and Silver Surfer. Instead of kept every now and then they throw in these tidbits of Dr. Doom in here in the background. He's just looking at him like, okay, they just wanted some continuity of having him in the first and second one. There's no reason for him to even be here.
They didn't even say how he survived the shit from the first one.
No. Because the guy, they don't actually. And I don't know. Personally, I'm glad they didn't kill him, but from this franchise, it sucked anyway so badly that you could give two shits if he died or not.
Mm-hmm. And it's...
There's a lot of talking in this movie more than action, man.
And the action's very, very quick.
The action is very quick, and I had to say, we just did last week X-Men First Class, where there was a lot more talking than action, which worked because the actors are amazing and the dialogue is great. In here, though, not only the dialogue is horrible, the jokes are horrible, the actors can't keep it up, and I don't even think any of them knew what the fuck they were doing when it came down to...
No, this, for all four of them, this is probably just contract obligated.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that. They have no chemistry together, personally.
No. For Richard and Sue, they have nothing when they're supposed to be the interest.
Did you think that they were married at all in this movie?
No.
I never once got that they were dating at all in these movies. I was just looking at them like, they could be brother and sister for all I know.
Yeah, I mean, Evans, I think out of four, Evans is probably the best because he's got charisma.
I didn't like Evans back then. I didn't start liking Chris Evans or Captain America. I thought that was really when he got serious.
He's hit and miss.
Now he is. He's good or whatever. I think Disney and Marvel have really toned him out or whatever to be a better actor. I thought he was fucking weak as a Human Torch, to be honest, in this movie. He had nothing that resembled the Human Torch. On paper it sounds like he does, but he brought nothing.
Yeah, on paper, you would see these people and be like, Jessica Alba, Sue Storm, okay. Chris Evans is Johnny Storm, okay. Michael Chiklis, you know, he was big. He only got this part because of the S.H.I.E.L.D. show he was on.
Yeah.
That's the only... I mean, I do like Michael Chiklis. I think he's kind of cool and badass. But no one knows who this Dr. Richards is. Nobody knows who that actor is.
He's pretty known, actually.
Is he?
He gets known now for... just making cameos, and most like, because remember, he was in Titanic.
Was he?
You never forget when the person's in Titanic. And he also was in that crappy-ass Justice League War movie. he did the voiceover in there, so, you know, his, oh, God.
This was totally bad casting, again, on Fox.
Because the Mr. Fantastic, he's had a lot of work. He's done a lot.
I just looked, and yeah, he's in a lot of stuff. But as a household name, people know Alba, because this is when she was hot, when she was big. Not because of her acting, just because of how she looked.
Yeah, I was saying, not because we've yet to see her acting yet at
all. Evans, I think he was just the up-and-comer, a rising. But Chiklis was just big for the Shield.
And Chiklis, I don't see... he has the look down, I would say that.
You know who would be a good thing?
Idris Elba?
Maybe. No, he could play the Fantastic Four by himself. I would watch that. I would say Batista.
I can see that. We'll have to see how he does in Guardians of the Galaxy first.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
still don't know the range of Batista's acting yet, because the two movies I've seen him in, he really didn't do much.
So. Mm-hmm.
So I know in Guardians, he's playing a big role in there, so we'll see if he can pull that off. But what was that movie with Vin Diesel?
Chronicle or Riddick?
Yeah, Riddick and the Man with Iron Fist. He didn't really have any dialogue in the film. He just stood in the background and shit like that. I thought what his premise of his stuff was cool, but I wish he had more to do. But yeah, I would agree with that. But Guardians of the Galaxy, we'll see if the guy actually can't pull off some lines or something like that, because especially for Guardians of the Galaxy, that's going to be a little bit harder for him, especially a not known actor or whatever. He's got to do comedic, serious. To go with the rest of the crew there, so
and we're
some veterans as well.
And you know, Marvel's not Fox, so they actually take their casting very seriously.
They just don't say fuck it. The property will make the money back. Whatever.
Yeah, they. I mean, Fox. It looks like they just get whoever's hot at the time.
Michael B. Jordan as the new Human Torch. I can see that just from when I saw Chronicle.
Exactly.
He played Mr. Fantastic in that movie. The only problem I have with that is, why is the sister white and black?
The dad's black, too.
Why complicate things like that when Fantastic Four has already got a bad rap? I think you should just make that as easy as possible to get that bad taste out of people's mouths.
The dad's black.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That Reggie Cathy.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Miles Teller as the lead guy.
I did not get that.
And you got Jamie Bell, who's... small. Isn't Ben Grimm supposed to be huge?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, Jamie Bell, I don't see that.
And Kate Mara, she's a decent actress.
She was horrible in that Transcendence film.
I mean, she's decent. She's
horrible in that Transcendence film.
Well, I said she's...
She's
decent.
She was horrible. When I saw that movie, I was just looking at her the whole time. I was just like, I really don't know why you got picked for that role now, because aren't you supposed to have some charisma to do a superhero film, and you are boring as shit. Every time she opened up her mouth or the camera was zooming her, I was just looking at her and just like, she does not have leading lady on her.
Was she the female lead?
The female lead on the antagonist side, yeah.
Whatever.
Maybe she'll do better as a hero than a villain, I guess. I don't know, but...
Well...
You know what? Never mind, I'll take that back. She later became the hero, too, or whatever. So it's just like, yeah, well, then.
And then we got Julian McMahon as Dr. Doom, and his career pretty much, after that Nip Tuck, his career pretty much fell off the face of the earth.
When did Nip Tuck end, too?
7 or 8?
Wow, so that was right when this movie came out then.
They're like, yeah, we don't want to be associated with this movie. it was 2010. Up. Jesus, that went on forever.
Wasn't he in that movie with Bruce Willis, Red?
Yeah, he was in Paranoia, too, from last summer.
Yeah.
But nobody saw that movie.
Wasn't he in that movie, God, what's the name of that fucking movie? Oh my god, the one that was directed by Kimball Randall?
Hold on, my Google...
Itch or something like that? I don't remember.
My Google Chrome is being weird.
Bait.
Bait?
Yeah, Bait. He's in that piece of shit.
Oh, the shark movie?
Yeah.
People seen that? That was direct to DVD, wasn't it?
Not that I remember. remember that shit hit theater for a while. But then again, I live in LA, everything is theater, so.
Oh, yeah, true.
We have white tea in theater, so what does that tell you?
And Andre Baumgauer?
Baumgauer?
I don't know how I say his name, man.
Baumgauer? That's racist. All the Chinese people in the world listening to this right now.
He was pretty cool. I like him. I do like him. I like him as an actor.
I don't like anybody in this movie. Kerry Washington. That ain't make no damn sense while she was in this movie.
Yeah.
That shit was a joke with her. I'm dating Ben Grimm. My buddy was laughing when that helicopter almost sliced her ass.
Yeah, and he was pretty much standing there and getting chopped in the face.
And then he was just like, why is she not moving? And I was like, you remember from the first one, she's blind or whatever? He was like, but she can't hear that? She's the worst blind chick ever. But hey, if she can hook up with Ben Grimm, I know I got a chance at that shit.
I do want to know how, you know, they get it on.
That was horrible when they asked that. I don't think anyone could. That's why I said Chris Evans was good. He's supposed to be a comedic actor, at least at this time he was, and his comedic line was delivered horrible. I did not buy either one. Every time he opened up his fucking mouth, I was like, somebody just shut him the fuck up.
They were forced. The comedy was forced.
Yeah.
Like, right when they're about to go get Doom after saving Silver Surfer, they're arguing about who's driving the car.
Yeah. I forgot what they call that thing.
Fantastic car?
Something. No, it's not fair about that. I forgot what it's called, but that thing is, like, predominant. That's like the helicarrier in the Avengers or something to the Fantastic Four. You know, that is supposed to be a big deal for the Fantastic Four. I forgot what they actually call it then. I haven't read the Fantastic Four book in a while, people. Don't get me wrong. And once they start off into the Ultimates, I didn't really give a shit about Fantastic Four no more, but...
Is it... Where would you rank them on superheroes?
Like in general or in the movies?
General. Because they're iconic. The Thing is an iconic
comic book character. Like, I always loved when they teamed up with the Avengers and Hulk would beat his ass and shit.
Would you say top 10?
God, that's hard because there's so many superheroes. Let's see. Okay, let's go down to originals. You got Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, X-Men, Iron Man, Captain America,
Hulk.
Who else would be Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, of course,
Aquaman.
Oh, okay.
Green Arrow.
Then why don't you throw in Steel while you're at it?
Kick ass now.
James McAvoy wanted.
Super.
Super, Rain was super.
Blade.
Michael B. Jordan from Chronicle. they'd probably be in the top 15, top 20.
Okay, but they are, like, Fantastic Four is a well-known.
Oh, yeah, if you said the name, everybody knows them.
Yeah, it's
not
just...
not like, Doctor Strange or anything, like Ant-Man or nothing like that.
No. Yeah, but Ant-Man will be a household name when that movie gets released.
Oh, yeah. That everybody gonna know Doctor Strange and Ant-Man when they come out, and they're gonna be like, I love those movies. I want to read everything about them.
It just amazes me, like, two movies, they completely whiffed on two movies.
Which one do you think is worse?
This one.
Yeah.
This one,
when this came out, people were saying, this one is better by half an inch.
No!
I remember saying to me, this one's worse because of all the elements it added into it. You got the whole power switching, Dr. Doom gets Silver Surfer power, Silver Surfer Galactus, all these elements here that sound cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they fucked all of them.
Like, the first movies for any, you know, franchise, however they do it, I give it a pass because they have to establish it.
Yeah, it was boring.
Then the second one, the sequel, it's supposed to be more balls to the wall, you know, awesome. But no, they completely, they made it worse.
Yeah. To me personally, If I had to go on Larry Merrill, I think they're both on the same level, but if I had to pick one, this one definitely is more worse. Just because of the insult of what they did with Galactus. Oh my god. Biggest insult. I'm saying that right now. The biggest insult in comic book history. I remember I was talking to Cody the other day, and I was like, who has the right to Galactus? Does anybody have the right to whatever he is? And we were talking, we were just like, we looked at, oh damn, Fox has the rights to Galactus, so Disney will never get Galactus in one of these Avenger movies. And that's like, that's where Galactus needs to be. He needs to be somewhere in an Avengers tie-in or whatever, not no fucking Fantastic Four. Unless, because Fox is talking about doing their universe bullshit too with X-Men, unless they do something with X-Men and Fantastic Four then. Yeah. Which kind of would be boring because Galactus is more of an Avengers villain, but hey,
So, I mean, what about Silver Surfer? Does that have anything with the Avengers universe?
He shows up or down, but he's not, like, an official Avenger or anything like that. He's kind of like Green Lantern. He pretty much protects space and shit like that.
Okay, I mean, well, now if they got Thanos...
Only time he comes to Earth is to tell people, Galactus is coming.
He's the messenger.
He's coming. Run.
He's the messenger.
Because he used to be the one that, like, as you see in this movie, he would create those wormholes in the Earth's core and shit like that for Galactus to know where to come and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Silver Surfer was always cool. Because I don't know if you remember, Silver Surfer had his own cartoon back then.
I remember.
Yeah, and that cartoon explored more of his power than this movie ever fucking did. Jeez.
I mean, what exactly is his power?
Cosmic force.
Okay.
Pretty much can do anything, yeah, to be honest. I mean, he's almost... His Galactus' herald is almost as strong as him. So, I mean, he's pretty much a big force and threat. I like his backstory, too, as well. I think his character, what they did with him in here, I think they could have did a little more with him.
Oh, yeah, he seems really wasted. Like, the only badass part I thought he did was when he grabbed Human Torch. That was probably the most badass thing he did. Other than that, I just think he was wasted. Yeah.
He's pretty fucking boring and bland in this movie. You just look at him just like, so he can block missiles. That guy can float on a goddamn surfboard. I think that block...
What was that? You're cutting out. What'd you say?
Let's be...
You there?
That's the only thing he does is they draw the time, like, hear me now?
Yeah, you're just cutting out really bad.
Still?
You sound better.
Okay. I'm fucking wired. I don't know why I'm fucking wires when I'm always talking.
Because you're excited.
Well, I'm just like looking at this, I'm like a cat or something. Like, what was I saying?
You were talking about Silver Surfer.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying Silver Surfer, his backstory is really interesting. And here, all they had him doing was flying around and blocking missiles from the military and shit like that. Yeah. Just like... Motherfucker can fly in space and shit like that on a goddamn surfboard. I think blocking this thing a goddamn thing to him.
He's an organism? Or what exactly is he?
He was a, I forgot what planet it was called. You know, they always ask me where that planet's getting out. But he was trying to protect his world, and so he made a deal with Galactus of to take him as one of his heralds and turn him into this cosmic being. To scout other worlds to spare his world because he was married to this woman he was in love with and he didn't want to cause any harm to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a story right there. His story is pretty much he sacrificed himself to protect his planet and his wife from Galactus ever eating his world up.
Do you think Silver Surfer could have his own standalone movie?
Yeah. It'd probably be cost a shitload of money, but...
yeah.
It definitely, remember, it's going to be on another planet, We don't know. I mean, his people could normally look like human beings, so he can keep that. But when you start introducing all these elements of space in there, you're looking about $170 to $200 million. And I don't know if people would want to take that chance. Marvel probably would, because they don't give a fuck.
Because they know they'll triple that money.
I was about to say, they're taking a chance with Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange and all that shit, and they're doing it, so I mean, I think Marvel would do it, but there's a lot of elements of Silver Surfer to throw in there, but I definitely think the story is there to have its own movie.
Yeah, and it's just, I seriously, thinking about this movie, how can you, I mean, everyone seemed bored, like they didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
No chemistry. I mean, they had better chemistry in the first one than this one.
I kind of would agree with that as well. Their chemistry in here. I mean, especially when people complained about Peter Parker dancing in Spider-Man 3. What about Reed Richards dancing in this one?
It's terrible.
And then the whole, this little sub thing of Jessica Alba getting mad. Just like, why are y'all dancing? Or whatever. It's like, bitch, you act like you caught him fucking or something like that.
What was with her eyes? Was she wearing contact, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Why?
I have no fucking idea.
Does it add to her character?
No.
And plus, okay, what was the time frame? What was the gap between the first one and the second one?
Dude, I really don't know. I would assume like a year, maybe two.
Okay, that seems about right. And this is the same thing with Days of Future's Past, that Kitty Pryde had this power. And then now Sue Storm has this power that she can make anything around her invisible.
Sue Storm always had that power, though, to be fair.
Okay.
I can say in the first one, I don't think they got to explore their powers as much as they needed to. I think that's where the first movie lacked, is they never really tested their power. Because that's why I said the Invisible Woman is better than Sue Storm herself. Because Sue Storm does have a lot of techniques and abilities and shit, but she can't. She's kind of like Jean Grey in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of puts a strain on her mind, though, to do it. So she can't really keep it up that long. But her powers are interesting. She can make other things invisible. And like that thing where she told Dr. Doom she can create a force field and shit like that. I think as the years pass, they're trying to say that she started learning more about her power. But even then, you barely see it in this movie.
Yeah, and Richards...
I don't think you see in this movie, or even in the first one, their powers explored to the limit at all.
And Richards, he just seems like a Stretch Armstrong.
That's all he is.
His power ain't really impressive. Human Torch just turns into a fireball. That's the same with an X-Men.
I was going to say, the thing that because Reed Richards don't get into the field that much. His brain is his best power.
How smart he is.
He's like one of the smart. Him and Iron Man can team up a lot, whatever. And Bruce Banner and shit needs to do things. And Reed Richards is always one of Reed Richards was the one that, you know, usually found out how the way to defeat Galactus and shit like that. All these space beings that he know how to defeat. So I think that they probably gave him a lame power to keep him in the lab.
That just makes me excited to see that the possibilities of Fantastic Four with the Avengers. It'll never happen movie wise, but. It just makes you excited that what could the possibilities.
They do a lot in the book with Fantastic Four and Avengers, and they even do it in the cartoon. They even do more in the 30-minute cartoon shows than I've seen in this 2-hour movie.
Yeah, and it's just like the Fantastic Four is just an X-Men.
Really? Yeah, I can see that too because they just seem like mutants.
Yeah,
and I think the movie does a wrongful job of not exploring what their powers really can do and shit. I don't think Sue Storm, personally, I don't think her powers have never tested in these movies. She barely does anything in here.
No, she just, when she escaped the cell, or whatever, the room, when she found Silver Surfer, that's all she did was hide. And she, used the force field and, you know, all that shit, but it wasn't impressive.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah.
I don't think anything was impressive. I don't even think Ben Grimm really could test his strength out. I never thought that.
No, he could barely hold up that Ferris wheel in London.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone here ever got to test out their abilities to. I think Johnny Storm did it in the first one, but you barely felt he did when he told him to go supernova.
Yeah.
But you barely saw a difference from what it was. I was just like, okay, so he just got hotter. I mean, I don't think anyone's powers were ever tested here. And they had the villains to test those powers against them in here. You got Silver Surfer and Dr. Doom?
Yeah, and Doom's power is what? Electricity?
No, God, his power's all over the place. Not electricity, though, and shit like that, but he can damn near manipulate and control it, though.
Yeah,
pretty much, and he got a fucked up face. I'll say that.
And this was more of like a. Would you say this is more of a Johnny Storm movie than any of them?
Just due to
the fact of action wise, he did more than anyone else.
I was gonna say both films were kind of focused around it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just me though. But I assume that they are Johnny Storm films or whatever. And which I don't know why, because they make him boring in the film.
Yeah, they force the comedic on him, and he does have that charisma. We've seen it in Captain America.
He might have grown
so much as an actor between.
Yeah, I was about to say this is old Chris Evans. This is before he even had a.
This is where he'll take anything possible.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think he really got good for Captain America, to be honest.
And what did you think of Fishburne's voice?
It was cool for what it was, whatever, but, you know, it's not like he did anything, so it's like...
The first thing that pops in your head is, like, Morpheus?
Yeah, I popped it, but... I didn't feel anything in this movie. Even when I heard his voice, that's cool, but, like, he's not doing a goddamn thing. Now the military's called him. They really are getting heavy with the military in these Fantastic Four movies. I don't know why. Because I know in the new one they're talking about the military is going to be heavy-handed in it as well. And I'm just like, why don't you throw in some secret agency or something like that, like S.H.I.E.L.D. or something? Because that's mainly who they work with. They didn't.
If Marvel's attached to the movie, can't they throw in a little bit of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, because Disney owns the rights to them.
So Disney has, so since Marvel's its own standalone company, they can't do nothing because Disney owns everything.
Yeah, Disney owns the rights to the movie and TV license for them and shit like that. But
gotcha.
They could easily make up something. I mean, especially if they're doing something with X-Men. If they want to tie something in with the X-Men, they could say it's like the president or something like that, and saying that he wants to get rid of people and some shit like that. If they are doing something with X-Men, I think that they should start tying these movies in, because I, personally, from watching the last X-Men movie, I don't see any comparison to Fantastic Four or anything like that, and I know that's what they're setting up for later in, like, 2018 or 17 or something like that. I'm not seeing where these two can cross paths at, but maybe I'll have a different opinion when I see Fantastic Four.
Who would you more likely want to see with the Avengers, X-Men or Fantastic Four?
You know what? X-Men has got too many characters.
They have a lot of characters.
Yeah, I think they're... All that talk about Hugh Jackman talking about he want to be an Avenger, I think you're fine just where you're at right now. I think you should just focus on that. Because there's a lot of fucking characters to explore itself. So X-Men, that definitely has every right to be its own universe. Fantastic Four? That'd be cool, whatever. I mean... What can they do that the Avengers can't do? You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
Exactly.
They need a genius. Well, they got Bruce Banner and Tony Stark, so, you know, Reed Richards really isn't... Invisible Woman, she can't really do much that Scarlet Witch can't do. I mean, so, you know... so, any strength, that's what the Hulk is for. I mean,
yeah, and humans...
I don't think they add much to the Avengers, unless it was a bigger threat than it. But all the characters they're adding in Avengers 2 and going on with Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Scarlet Witch, Vision, and all of them, is like, yeah, there's no need for Fantastic Four.
What about Human Torch?
No, Human Torch not needed. Scarlet Witch will slap the shit out of him. Spider-Man beat Human Torch one time. Come on. No, man. Your power is inspired. This dude shoots web. How the fuck he beat you?
And this movie, I mean, I think the movie... spent too much time focused on their relationship with Richard and Storm. That, like, it's so forced. It's like the first one. It's like they just met each other like the day before shooting.
Yeah.
This one, it's like they haven't talked to each other from the first movie to this movie.
I was about to say, yeah. they haven't talked at all. Would have just got was trying to get back that show, Garden Angel, probably.
She should.
Oh yeah, she's hot.
Well, she's still hot, I mean...
Yo, in that show, she was sexy, though. Let's be real.
Yes.
She got out of that water. Oh, my God.
That's her. That's her claim to fame. That and Honey.
Trailer up right now. You keep talking right now.
Her. That and Honey. No.
Honey. No, no, no. What do you think she did with Dane Cook? Come on now.
Well, Sin City, but.
Oh, Dane Cook is where it's at, man.
Good luck, Chuck.
What now? The ending. That's got to be one of the worst endings in comic book movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, Silver Surfer sacrifices himself to take out Galactus.
That doesn't even make sense.
And
that doesn't make sense.
That seemed weak. That seemed exactly like fucking Green Lantern punching Parallax into the fucking sun. It's on the same level. It's something bullshit. It's a bullshit ending.
You know what's bullshit about this one more, though, is the fact that they tried to set up this thing with Jessica Alba and Silver Surfer that, like, she's trying to make him remember how human... well, not he wasn't human, but I'm just saying, to remember how human he used to be before. I'm just like, oh my god, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, that you're exactly right. She tried to make him human.
Yeah, trying to make him remember who he was before he was the Silver Surfer in title. I'm just like, he should already remember that. There's no reason why she should be setting this up. So, and they don't even have meaningful conversations neither. So, I don't see why he suddenly changed his mind all of a sudden. It's like, you know what, Jessica, you're right. I'm going to sacrifice myself for you guys now. It's like, what if that don't work?
And what's funny is, that she kept saying that he saved her from the missile. I'm like, no, he pretty much saved himself.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah. His guard was off balance, and he even looked at it, and it was a tiger. Yeah, he saved himself, from what I recall.
And
that was so forced, though.
And this showed, I mean, this showed that Jessica Alba really has no acting range.
No, and the thing is, she gets all kinds of work. She never stays in one type of genre, and I've never once seen her work in any of them.
No, it's, well, she is, I think she just gets her jobs because of the way she looks.
Oh, yeah, oh, definitely, she gets her job definitely because of her looks. I mean, I don't remember Dark Angel, the TV show. Maybe she's better on TV than movies, I don't know.
Dark Angel, she was pretty good in that.
Okay, I definitely don't remember the show that came out like fucking...
not late 90s, early 2000.
Yeah, like 98 or some shit like that. I definitely don't. That's where she got her stuff. Actually, yeah, it was, you know, James Cameron created Dark Angel, right?
Joss Whedon.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at it right now. That's James Cameron.
Was it really?
Yeah, I was like, damn, James Cameron did that? I didn't know that.
I thought it was Whedon. I thought Whedon was one of them.
No, Whedon did Buffy.
Yeah, I knew that.
He did Buffy and goddamn fan, don't hate me now, I don't remember.
Firefly.
Firefly Serenity.
Yeah.
James Cameron is a sci-fi series created between 2000 and 2002.
Maybe that's why she became a star, because of Cameron.
I guess so. You work with Cameron, you ain't going nowhere. I did not know that personally.
I completely forgot about that.
I did not know James Cameron created that show. I don't remember it enough, but I've never once seen her in a movie where I was just like, she was really good in this movie.
No, standing out? No.
No, she never stands out. Only thing she stands out is because she's pretty.
Yeah, she's got a banging body.
And nobody knows her race.
I think she's Cuban.
I think she's white.
I don't know.
If somebody asked me if you could fuck one chick in Hollywood, would it be? And I was just like, I can't think on the top of my head, so I'm just going to say Jessica Alba as a default. He's like, really? Oh, come on, her? Oh.
I can go back to 2007.
Shit, even now, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm happy with it. Jessica Alba is fine. Especially when she posted those nude photos. At least I thought it was nude, but it was her pregnant showing her spine. I was like, oh, it's just... I feel dirty looking at this. I like it.
True.
Anyway, what would you give this movie?
I would give it 1.5.
Damn, that's our lowest rating.
I think so. this is just... It's boring.
Yeah, it's really boring.
And the action... Oh my god, it's so quick and pointless, and that's what your comic book movies are supposed to have, is the badass action, and it's just nothing.
It's never once cool.
No, like I said, the coolest action part was when Silver Surfer grabbed Human Torch.
Should that even be cool? He grabbed a man. That's cool.
That was the best part of the movie.
Well, it's not like all these powers they got in grabbing a person was the coolest thing in the movie.
And it's just...
They never once explored Silver Surfer's powers in this movie. I never once saw him shoot out a cosmic flame or something.
Because, you know why? Probably because they didn't want him to overshadow the Fantastic Four.
But they fucking suck, though!
Fox doesn't know that.
Oh my god. You know, it's probably that, and probably they didn't want to spend no more money on it. They was like, look, we got the look of him. That's good enough.
He's riding around on a surfboard.
Yeah. That's cool, right? We got Lawrence Fishburne. You know, that nigga cost like $60 million, so come on.
He does not cost $60 million.
And this time he did. Shit.
He spent a day. He spent a day. Like, probably about 3 hours.
That brother was fresh off the Matrix at this time. You know damn well he was a hot commodity at the time.
Well, when people saw Matrix 2 and 3, they're probably like, eh.
Shit, still made money.
It still made money, but eh.
No, still made money. What's the box office draw? They're going to get... Why did Kristen Stewart and them keep getting work? Because they make money.
Would a voice really be a box office draw?
Yeah.
Would you want a, like, I mean, it's not Morgan Freeman.
You gotta sit up here and tell me a voice act don't matter when they're gonna be voice acting for Vision, Thanos, and the rest of them or whatever, and people get excited about that. Come on now.
Who's that gonna be voicing Thanos?
What?
You say they're gonna have a big voice for Thanos?
Obviously, yeah. Ain't gonna be no big purple dude walking around.
No, I'm just saying, would you really spend, like, say $60 million on a voice?
Depending on who it is. If it's Robert Downey Jr., hell yeah.
Or Morgan Freeman.
Oh, fuck, Morgan Freeman will do any goddamn thing. He can get him cheap. That nigga will do Animal Planet at this time. Come on now, I mean, shit, Morgan Freeman will do anything. If it's like Robert Downey Jr. or something like that, then hell fucking yeah, I will. Lawrence Fishburne at the time? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. At this time, hell no.
I don't know what he's doing anymore.
Hell no. He'll do it for $10, though.
He'll do it for some ribs.
Shit, he'll do it for, Winter Force Walker's eyeball. Come on.
They could've got Elba. They could've got Elba to do it.
Keep that shit as a trophy or something like that.
If Elba did it, nobody would know who the fuck that voice is. So, like, who's this guy?
Yeah, that nigga can't even keep his own damn accent together, so.
What would you give it?
I give it a mighty high old fuck. I hate this franchise. I hate this movie. I hate everything in it. I can't stand anything. I think this is the biggest insult in comic book history, personally. The ending is a piece of shit. Like you said, like I said earlier, it's just like First Class. No action, a lot of dialogue. Which I don't necessarily mind Superman, I think those are better, but your dialogue is fucking shit, and your script is ass garbage, then I don't know why you'd want to spend more time with these characters fucking opening their mouths up.
And you don't have the cast to back it up?
Exactly, and you think these jokes are funny? No.
Like, I wouldn't lie, I would seriously watch if Avengers movie had, like, maybe something like what First Class did. With their actors, it can work. Yeah. Because if you have Ruffalo and Downey Jr., that's good chemistry with those two.
You know, that's a damn shame that Avengers was the first movie that all those actors got together, and they had more chemistry than these motherfuckers in this movie. They did two movies together.
That's what I said. I think they never talked to each other after the first one.
It's a goddamn shame here. Whatever. Their chemistry is so fucking lacking in this film that you don't give a shit about nobody in here. And when Doc Doom comes in, they might as well play, gave him like a twirly mustache and played some music in the background. I went, wrong.
you mean like the old westerns?
Yes.
I see
every
that.
Every time he was on screen, it just looked sinister enough to it. It was just like, And, you know, this guy's also... Nothing in here is subtle, and it's just thrown at your face or whatever. It really is a piece of shit. It was a high fuck. I hate this one.
This is the your absolute worst superhero movie.
It's in my top two.
What's your other one?
Batman and Robin. But then again, that one was coming off of Batman Forever, so it ain't like I was... like I was expecting difference or anything like that. And I think Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, actually, I think that's worse than Batman and Robin.
You know what's funny? When the unreleased Fantastic Four movie is probably better than these two.
I think anything would be better than these two. I think Steel, watching Steel again would be better
than these. Tank Girl.
Yeah, all that shit. I'd rather watch all that. I'd rather watch all that. This shit is insulting because of what they did with these characters. Galactus as a fucking a silhouette cloud. That has got to be the biggest insult I've ever seen in fucking cinema history. The point, I don't mind that it's changing up because they probably don't have the budget to create the giant Death Eater or anything like that. But at the same time, do something with him.
Yeah, please. Don't spend 10 minutes of a fucking the last movie to just to show him.
Why don't they open up the movie with him destroying worlds and shit like that? How about that, huh?
Yeah, what do they open up with? They open up with, people in, like, Europe and stuff with, like, ice and everything. Like, the Silver Surfer's...
Oh, with Dr. Doom and shit?
Yeah.
Well, that was stupid in general, too. Yeah, and then, you know, get the stupid-ass wedding or whatever. Then the whole movie, they just complaining. Oh, yeah, we're gonna get married. What's a wedding? And it's like, man, I should have just got married in the first fucking one, so we could have gotten this out of the way.
And then they get married in Japan.
What was that about? I'm surprised Wolverine wasn't in the background going stuff up.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not in all the Fox movies.
Just saying shit, why not?
They love him so much.
You say, would you pay $60 million for Lawrence Fishburne's voice? Fox has been paying almost $100 million just to get Wolverine in cameos and shit. I mean, shit. Fox will do anything.
Fox is so desperate to top Marvel.
Everybody,
this is the reason why Fox is the lowest on the totem pole for superhero movies.
They got Fantastic Four attached to them.
Yeah, well, and X-Men.
They have ways of redeeming themselves, though, better ways of redeeming themselves than, say, for
DC? Oh, I thought you were saying DC.
Yeah, it is DC. Warner Bros. DC, whatever. They all won now.
That's because they got Snyder's ass so far?
They got his ass up so far. Plus, they're on a bad track record right now, too.
Sorry, Cody.
I mean, you got Green Lantern, horrible. Dark Knight Rises, this fine movie, but it's disappointing in some part.
Especially after Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's another thing. Man of Steel, horrible. The animated movies that came out, all three, they're horrible. The cartoons are horrible. The books are horrible. They're on a bad track record in every genre right now.
But you've said in multiple episodes that DC's animated movies top Marvel's.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I think I said that after watching Under the Red Hood.
Yeah, they top Marvel by... Because Marvel don't put effort into their anime. They just make them, whatever. But DC, actually, they put the work into them, whatever, when they make their animated film.
So you think...
They specialize in animation. They're Warner Bros. They specialize in the shit.
So do you think if DC actually put effort, they would make a good live-action movie?
They probably would. They need to get the right people on it, too. That's another thing. Because the reason why their animation's been so good is because they had Bruce Timm attached to it. Why I've said it is so bad now is because Bruce Timm just recently left, and ever since he left, I swear to God, these stories that they've been putting out for these anime months, it's like, man, these are horrible. These are fucking garbage. Like, nobody here gives a shit about this. Their mode of thinking is, this character is popular, stick them in there, people will pay to see
him. Uh-huh.
That's what their whole mode of thinking right now is. Batman and Superman teaming up, that's popular. Put them in there to see it. We don't give a fuck with playing who.
And do you think Fox, you think they're just releasing, like, Fantastic Four, the X-Men, not counting First Class, do you think they just release them just to make a buck?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
That they don't give a shit about how bad it is? They just want to make money?
I completely agree with that. I think the Fantastic Four, this regroup, I don't even think that ever got talked about until... the fucking Avengers came out.
That really did come out of nowhere.
It really did.
I'm just kind of wondering if maybe if they had the licensing thing with what Sony got Spider-Man.
No, they don't have no licensing thing. They own it. Fox don't have that licensing thing.
Oh, that's so, okay.
Nobody has that licensing. Only Sony has that shit, though.
Gotcha.
There is no licensing. That came out of nowhere or whatever. And the only reason why it did is because we want to create our own universe. We own these supergirls. They've teamed up before. Let's put them in
the universe. And then the casting. I mean, I think the first news of it was the casting.
Yeah, it was Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, that was like, I think that like blew people away. Like, we didn't even know this was even in talks. And they just announced the Fantastic Four. I believe that. I believe that shit.
No, they've said it before. They have thrown out like 3 scripts this year.
And doesn't it come out this next year?
Yeah.
They are fucking pushing the button on that one.
Yeah, they really are behind on that one. But
I am...
That's probably the least thing I'm most interested about in coming up the year. The first superhero film, this Fantastic Four. I don't give a shit what they do.
I am interested in seeing how Jordan will be, because I am starting to be a fan of his.
I really wish he would back out of that project.
Do you think he would?
No, because this is his first. This is gonna be his biggest film ever.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Do you think he? I mean, do you think that could be like a career suicide?
That's what I'm a little worried about. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I'm saying if he backed out.
If that movie is horrible and he's not really that good into it, that shit could be a career killer for you.
Hey, but look at Evans.
Yeah, Evans, though, got by being a pretty boy. Pretty white boy. So, I mean, after that, he got by a pretty white boy. He was like, at that time, he was like what Ryan Reynolds is now.
Yeah, okay. That's a very good comparison. That's actually a perfect comparison.
Actually, we know which one's gotten better, who though?
Because Reynolds, I actually haven't seen him in a while. It's in Safe House, I think, last year.
Yeah, and he was in Ted, remember?
Yeah, briefly.
I thought that was his best role ever.
Because he didn't talk.
Yeah, I was just like, wow, he was so convincing in that role, too.
As a gay guy?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's married Scarlett Johansson and Blake Lively. No, that's actually a very good comparison.
He gets by with Secretary right now, yeah. You don't hear people saying Michael B. Jordan's the next hottest man ever, you know, like however, but Chris Evans and what's that guy, Ryan Reynolds. How many times they've been in GQ with the hottest man?
I think Reynolds was just the hottest. I think back in, was it 09 or 10? He was the number, yeah. He was like People's number one guy, hot guy or something. I think it was People, I'm not sure.
I think the difference between him and Chris Evans too is Chris Evans got out of that.
Yeah, Evans cares about his work now.
Yeah, he actually wants to get into more in the film with directing and shit like that. I think he went above being just the pretty boy that they got for these cool action roles or something like that or whatever. I think he's really got grown up now in the film, but
and see what Marvel can do to your career.
Hey, that's what Robert Downey Jr. told him. He's like, oh, you better take this job, they're gonna fix your career.
Exactly.
Let me ask some questions now. Adriana, she says, if what you say about these books are true, P1, she's talking about X-Men First Class, are true P1, then these movies are half-assed action flicks, because I don't ever see any of that deep story you're talking about. Okay, I want to get into X-Men books. Where should I start? Would you agree with that they're just half-assed action movies now at this point?
Well, I never read the books.
Watching the movies, though.
Yeah, the first three, definitely. Mm-hmm. That we all know that it's all about fucking Wolverine, and it gets really repetitive. And boring, but I would say yeah. But First Class, they did it right.
Yeah.
But they did it right without having Wolverine in it.
Mm. Yes, that is true. Very true.
As we saw in Futures Past, he was in pretty much the whole fucking movie.
if you really like First Class, who was it, Adriana?
Yeah.
Yeah, Adriana. If you really like First Class, you want to get some books. I recommend reading the book, actually, titled the movie, X-Men First Class. I think you should read that one. That definitely is a good one.
Is that the start?
No, it's not the first, very first one. Class is just the book. Class is really actually focused on the original five X-Men that started it all. With this one, you don't really need to get caught up with any of the books before. So I guess it kind of is the starter in a way. That was something. Let's see, what else should you read? I'm thinking, how about Giant Size X-Men Issue 1? That one will help out.
And this is where it's actually a dark story, right?
Yeah, these are some of them. Actually, the ones I just gave out, First Class is a little bit, it is. But the ones I'm giving out right now are more of like teen-focused books. Darker stories get in somewhere in the middle, but I think if you're going to get into those, you should probably start off with how they became a team in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's actually like the backstory. That's something I hope we see in Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to get into the deep story, you need to establish that these people like working together and shit like that. So, these are the books I'm giving out to you. Actually, read X-Men Days of Future Past, too. That one actually is definitely one of the best X-Men books out there as well. I don't think it follows the movie as much, but hey, I guess whatever. I've kind of learned that from watching these movies. let's see. What else? What was that name of that one? Okay. Days of Future Past might be a little hard to read if you're not familiar with X-Men books, but this one's definitely going to be hard for you to read if you're not familiar with the X-Men characters, and that's X-Men God Loves, Man Kills.
That's a cool title.
That book is a badass book, but you might get lost, though, if you don't know who these people are and what's going on. So, I would say read that one last after you've read a couple of ones. It actually covers like how the world portrayed or may react to the dawn of mutants. I think this is That's definitely probably one of my favorite ones, actually. That one covers most of the story that I've been talking about. That one was written by Chris Claremont, too, if I'm not mistaken. And that was the first book, if I'm not mistaken, quote me on this. That was the first book where they took the concept of the X-Men mutant powers and shit and covered it with real-world analogies and shit. So I definitely recommend that one. So if anyone wants to check it out.
Yeah, I definitely want to, like, maybe check some stuff out, because I want to see, like, I think First Class had the, it was, like, tilting that way, that it could be, like, a very dark story, and I think, I want to see a comic book movie that's, like, really a dark story that's, like, you know, tragedy.
12 Years a Slave of comic books?
Sure. That I want to kind of see that.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. And I think X-Men has the story to make a 12 Years a Slave comic book film, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really can get that deep. They brought some of it up in Days of Future Past where like they were getting experimented on and stuff like that. I think they should start showing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, something to maybe look forward to. Maybe Apocalypse could do something.
I really thought that there was a scene in Days of Future Past people with when they were on the plane and James McAvoy and Fassbender were talking to each other. That scene was one of the best scenes in the movie where Charles was getting in his face and was just like, you took everything from me or whatever. You could feel the emotion. And then Magneto sat him down and was just like, you left us. They experimented on all us. They're all dead now. And I was just like, oh my God, dude.
Talking about, he went, Fassbender went through the list. Emma, Angel,
Banshee,
Azrael, of all the people that died, were like, see, this is what First Class was remarkable, is because of these two actors.
Oh, yeah, they sold that scene in Days of Future Past.
They sold the entire movie. I loved McAvoy in this movie, and Days of Future Past.
I have to say this right now, McAvoy was absolutely amazing. And like I think Z said, if a First Class was Fassbender's movie, Days of Future Past was McAvoy's movie.
Totally true.
And I thought that they got that just right or whatever. And I really felt the emotion in that plane scene where they were flying. Like, Xavier had nothing to say when Fassbender was talking to him. I was just like, that is something right there. I think they should start exploring more in these movies.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I like fun superhero films, whatever, but I think that if the story wants to take little twists and turns into that territory, I think you should go ahead and do it then. Throw everyone off of the book or whatever and shit. Throw everyone that go see these movies off guard and shit. Like, whoa, I was expecting.
You know, if I notice a trend with, like, the new era of actors like Fassbender and stuff like that, that no matter what movie he's in, he brings his fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
And back in, like, say, like, the 90s or 80s, you have, like, people like, you know, Hanks and Julia Roberts and stuff like that. They didn't, like, bring their A-game every time.
No.
But, like, people, like, the actors nowadays, like, new upcoming actors, like, they bring their shit. And it's just, you know, it's, you know, a breath of fresh air that what we're seeing now.
After watching this movie, I almost stood applaud, like, why isn't James McAvoy more of a leading man now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, and granted, he gets a lot of work. I give him that. He gets a lot of work, but I don't think people see him as the man that could, as far as acting talent, could carry a film or something like that. I thought the man was just amazing in this film. And a lot of people give him credit to Bryan Singer for that. I say give credit to Matthew Vaughn because he started First Class and brought these actors into here. So.
And you can tell a big difference on the direction between this one and First Class.
Oh, yeah. Definitely can. But the best thing about it is that Fassbender and McAvoy keeps the same mode of acting. Matter of fact, their scenes together in this one is something you expect after watching First Class. And I think it was just that much more intense about it as well.
Yeah. And I think McAvoy's, before X-Men, I think his biggest role was Wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was the leading man in that.
He did a two straight to DVD films last year. I actually got both of them. They were pretty good, actually. Trance came out in theater, if I'm not mistaken.
And, I remember in theater.
And the other one was with Mark Strong.
Was that Welcome to the Punch?
Welcome to the Punch, yeah. Where they made Mark Strong a badass.
As well he should be.
As well he should be, that's right. Or whatever, and McAvoy's hunting down. That was pretty good. McAvoy and Fassbender, they really...
Great chemistry. Great chemistry.
They were just great. Every time they were on screen together, I was like, I still feel the same I felt about them in First Class, whatever. McAvoy was pouring it on in this movie.
Yeah, it's just great chemistry with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
They're definitely two actors I want to see work together in different projects as well.
Yeah, different genres.
I hear McAvoy has a little limited release movie coming out this week. I forgot the name of it, though, but it's getting good ratings. So
Next October in 2015, he's gonna be in a Frankenstein movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Didn't that come out this year?
15.
Is it 15? Okay, I remember that. That's right. And also Daniel Radcliffe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year. I heard, I remember about it, but it is next year, and obviously he's the original First Class, which I think you told me. I think they were gone, but they're signed on for Apocalypse.
Yeah, I heard that too. So,
when you told me they were gone, I'm like, oh, that's bullshit, because that just eliminates what we saw.
But they're being signed up is not confirmed yet. It's just a storyboard of what they might do. So.
Well, we both want that. Because if not, then if you get rid of the young versions and you stay with, like, you know, Stewart and Wolverine and shit like that, then you pretty much just erased First Class.
They want to do it in the 80s, but then when I read that, I was just like, well, that would make sense with the ending of Days of Future Past. What the fuck is the time frame in this movie?
What's the time frame with all the movies? Because now...
So I was just like, wait a minute. So, we're going to the 80s now, but Apocalypse looked like he was in the future with... Okay,
I didn't stay for that scene. I completely forgot about the credit scene.
It was a young version of Apocalypse. He was all scrawny and shit, little...
So, we both know the ending to Future Past. So, the ending... So, X-Men 1, 2, and 3 never happened, right?
Apparently, yeah.
That's good. They erased that from our memory.
Time travel just... You know what that ending felt like? It felt like a goodbye to those actors.
You think?
It was like, hey, thank you for being part of this franchise now, but we're going to switch over to the McAvoy Fassbender side of things now. So thank you for being a part of this lovely project we've been working on for 10, 11 years now. Goodbye.
Yeah. One thing, Sean asked me, he goes, how Jennifer Lawrence looked. I'm like, there's something about her that's been bugging me that's like, it's just, I couldn't quite say what, I couldn't think what it was, and then this movie stood out. Her fucking eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Her eyes stood out, and I'm like, that's what has been on my, that's what has been bothering me about her. Her eyes are weird.
I think the girl is beautiful, but the way people crave about her, I think they need to tone that. She's not that goddamn hot now.
Oh, no, that's, when I noticed her eyes, I'm like, yeah, that changed my opinion on her.
I think Kate Beckinsale looks hotter than her.
Fuck yeah.
I think a lot of people look hotter than her. I think people just like her because of the way she talks in these interviews, and she just seems like that go-to girl or something like that. I'm like, I don't want that. This is a fantasy. I want some slutty bitch.
And her boobs, her boobs seem to be getting smaller as she gets older. Have you noticed that?
What?
Her boobs seem to be getting smaller as she gets older.
All right.
McConaughey should be in a comic book movie.
That chicken Wolf of Wall Street looked better than Jennifer Lawrence. Come on now.
Oh, Robbie?
Yeah, Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
What the fuck is my girlfriend spraying around that? Okay, never mind. Anyway, next question. Christy Hillary, she said, congrats on the 50th episode of Milestone, guys. I've been an avid listener since your summer best and worst of special. Love what you do, so keep up the great work. Mike, thank you. I appreciate
that. Yes, thank you very much.
My question is, though, which one of these actors do you find the most insulting of playing the respectful character in the X-Men series? Thanks for answering my question, guys.
In the X-Men series?
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. I was going to cheer when I saw her die. I'm like, bitch!
I was proud. But then when they brought her back at the end, I was like, oh, fuck. Bitch ain't never going to die.
I think we both agree, McKellen and Stewart.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Even though I do like Stewart as Professor X, but McKellen's so old.
My problem with Stewart is he don't do a goddamn thing.
No. And what, the ending for Future Past, when did that take place? And how far in the future?
I have no idea. I can't give you a timeline. I don't even, Dale Bernstein don't even know the timeline. I have no idea when that came about, whatever. It looked like it could have been the present day as when the Sentinels were attacking from the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it was that. It's just everything changed because of the events of the outcome that changed in the past. So I'm thinking that, if you try to get the logic of this film,
you'll go crazy.
Fucking go crazy, whatever. They don't even know the goddamn logic.
I'm going to throw in Ellen Page as Kitty Pryde, too.
Yeah.
Because her powers came out of fucking nowhere. We talked about this Friday. Her powers came out of fucking nowhere.
She didn't even have those powers in the books.
They just gave her something to do.
It was almost as if they replaced her with Jean. It was like, look, Jean ain't around right now. We just gonna give you some telekinetic powers out of nowhere.
Yes, Jean Grey, and I think you said Professor X.
Yeah.
They could have done that. They could have done it.
Yeah, why didn't they just give Professor X to do that? I mean, it would make more sense, right? Wouldn't this fucking Kitty Pryde get telekinetic powers and shit where she can fucking teleport you to the past and shit?
Mm-hmm.
That don't even make sense to go with her original car. I was like, yeah, they really just gave her something to do in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I was proud about this film, though, that they didn't give Halle Berry any dialogue, so that was a positive.
I think the only thing she said was stand back, or they're coming, or whatever.
Another insult I would have to say is Rogue.
They wasted money on her to be in this movie.
It's funny because they said she's not in the movie. And I was just like, well, he
and they wasted money on Kelsey Grammer to be in this movie. What the fuck?
Rogue in the first movie. That's why I don't get why people like that movie. her character in the cartoons and the books are, she's powerful, she's strong, she's sexy, she's flirtatious, whatever, and she's got this charisma about her. The Rogue in the first movie.
Annoying.
She left a bad taste in my mouth for the point where I was just like, she's not even hot. I'm not even saying like women should be hot in the movie, but I was just like, that was the one thing about Rogue, though. She was at least nice to look at the time, but even when she opened her mouth, she'd be like, she's got this sexy accent on her or whatever and shit that like, oh my god, but yeah, she was still strong at the same time. This Rogue in this movie was a little scared bitch.
Yeah, she was annoying.
She really was. She served no purpose whatsoever. I'm gonna run away, Wolverine, because nobody here can accept me. I can't touch a boy. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Where you gonna go, bitch? Where are you gonna go?
Cerebro will find you.
Why would you leave, though? So you can't touch people, so your best thing is I'm gonna leave this place full of mutants where they all accept and know my powers, and I'm gonna go run off into the world or whatever. Yeah, okay, that's smart. Then that whole plan of let's take Rogue, that's like, alright, man. Rogue, man. Oh, an Iceman.
Yeah. Can't
stand that fucking character.
And why was Toad wearing goggles?
Who?
Toad.
I guess his eyes are fucked up, I guess.
I think he stands out with his gills that he had.
I like how nobody notices that shit, too. It's just like...
Or the black guy with, like, the things coming off his head.
The spikes?
Yeah.
They actually, because his name is actually Spike, to be honest. There's actually X-Men Evolution where he was related to Storm. So he was like Storm's, I can't remember if she was his nephew. And I actually like what they did with him in Evolution. His powers evolved to the point where he didn't want to be around anymore, and he learned to protect people. So he left the X-Men and went on his own and did what he had to do and stuff. They actually did a lot of great character story with his ass. I was very shocked by that because it was like, just another young black character that got skateboarding around here, whatever and shit. And they actually, later in the series, they did a lot more with him. It's a shame they didn't do a goddamn thing with him in here, but, you know.
Do you think, since Fox does own Fantastic Four and X-Men, do you think they're going to tie them?
They're going to what?
They're going to tie them in together?
They already said they are going to do that. They've already released dates of when that's happening, so.
Oh, so they're pulling that. They're pulling a Marvel.
Yeah, so they got.
Fox, give it up.
That's why I told you. That's why I was like, that Fantastic Four shit came out of nowhere. But then they probably realized we have the superheroes to make the universe, so.
But they're not. They're fucking up.
Reboot it.
They're gonna reboot every 4 years. Like, oh, we fucked this movie up. We're gonna reboot it again.
I'm waiting to see what they do. Fantastic Four, I think it's going to be a little weird. But Steve, he says, May is the official month of when summer blockbusters hit. So do you guys have a favorite film of the summer so far?
The summer's been pretty bad.
Yeah, I was about to say, because Captain America didn't come out in the summer this year.
No, this summer has been a very big disappointment. I've only seen the top three.
I'm hearing great things about that Tom Cruise movie.
I've been reading up on it, and it actually does look pretty good.
They're saying that is the best movie of the summer so far. I've heard 4 critics say that already. So I'm a little excited to see that. I saw the trailer again. I was like, this looks interesting. I'm really interested to see this. Tom Cruise in sci-fi seems to always be nice too. So
yeah,
The summer though would probably be a little indie film called Chef.
I wanted to see that.
It's that movie that Jon Favreau did with Robert Downey Jr. Sophia Vergara. That's the best I've ever seen Sophia Vergara. Everybody know I can't stand her. I think her voice is annoying, but I thought she did a great job.
That's actually playing here.
Oh, really? Yeah, you should go check it out.
I kind of want to see it. I mean, I've seen the big three, Spider-Man, Godzilla, and X-Men. And I've been disappointed in all of them. Isn't July usually like the big month?
You know what? I would say July. Usually July and August actually too. August has been pretty big lately. I think ever since Nolan came out with Inception in August.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie I actually like too is The a film I didn't think I was gonna like. I was actually gonna make fun of it when I saw it. I was like, this is really good, actually. Is that movie Bell?
Bell?
Yeah. Kind of like, it's pretty much the story of fucking Assassin's Creed Liberation, to be honest.
I don't think I've heard of it.
Vita game. There's a female Assassin's Creed version.
Oh, cool.
Vita of a black slave chick that she has like a white father, black mom, and the white guy loves her as a daughter. So she kind of gets accepted in around the white community, but there's still slavery going on. So she becomes an assassin to kind of stop it in a way. And in the movie, I was like, man, if she gets two blades out of that drawer right there, I swear to God. Because this movie kind of follows that same premise, except without the assassin shit, so.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. It must have been very limited release.
It was limited release. Yeah, I know, I'm only given the limited release. So Chef, Bell, and when did that Tom Hardy movie come out, Locke?
I think early May or end of April.
Yeah, it was April. I saw it in April. Yeah.
But
and the only movie I'm looking for next is that movie with James McAvoy, Filth, a limited release one, and Maleficent.
What about Dawn?
That'll come out in July. He said what I've seen so far.
Oh. I've only seen the three. I would say the best out of the three would probably be X-Men.
Yeah. I would agree with that too.
I'm not really looking for. I mean, besides Dawn, Edge of Tomorrow, Transformers, Guardians, I am not really looking forward to this summer.
Yeah, they're like a weak summer this year. So.
Yeah, well, we know next summer is going to be
fucking kick ass of all kick ass summers. That's if the movies are good though.
Yeah, it's hyped up to be the best summer.
2015 could go two ways. It could be the worst summer ever or the best summer of all time.
I mean, I'm already going to say Avengers probably going to be the shit, but we're just treading water right now, I think. I would just say we're treading water until next summer. Because you got, what, Terminator, Fantastic Four, Jurassic World,
Ant-Man,
Assassin's Creed.
There's a lot of shit from Star Wars.
Yeah, when's Avengers, Mad Max. I'm gonna throw in Entourage because I love the show. But
yeah, that's my favorite so far that I've seen yet. But we barely just started the summer, so we'll see how it goes down. Who knows? I might really love Edge tomorrow, or I might really hate Dawn of Planet Apes. So
Edge comes out next week, right?
Yeah. Next week, so yeah.
I am hearing good things about Malmiss. Yeah.
Maleficent?
Yeah.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie looked great in that role.
And I've heard people I work with, they say, like, that's like the best villain in any cartoon, Disney cartoon.
Oh, hell yeah. But it's just the way Angelina plays her, though. She has that voice that just sounds like so sinister, but like, it's like, oh my god, dude, like she sends chills up your spine when you hear it, though. It's just like, ugh. last question we got here is from Amethyst Chaos, though. He says, I love the chemistry between Fassbender and James McAvoy in this movie. I was wondering what other movies you, P1 and Z, would like to see them in. Oh, I just got done saying I'd love to see them again. Personally, I think they would be great in your future runaway hit, Panty Droppers. hey, we already know Fassbender.
No, I don't think McAvoy fits into that realm with McConaughey or Denzel.
No, he doesn't. You know what? Maybe we can have him like he'll be the guy that sets up the dates or something like that. We can have him like kind of like the assistant, you know?
You know what? I could see because I think McAvoy's English.
Yeah, he is.
And Fassbender, we found out he was German, which I had no idea.
Yeah, but he doesn't use a German accent, though.
No, he doesn't. He does pretty well.
That's the thing about other countries' accents. They know how to hide their accents very well and do American good, but Americans cannot pull off an English accent for shit.
Halle Berry.
okay.
How many accents has she had in X-Men?
She had like fucking 20 of them.
She changed it throughout the movie. No, but I think if McAvoy, if he was like that evil villain, and Fassbender was like the hero, I think that would work.
I think Fassbender would be a better villain, though.
Well, I haven't seen 12 years, but you're basing that on 12 years.
Hell yeah. McAvoy, because, you know, McAvoy looks like the underdog, that's why.
But I can't picture McAvoy as a hero.
Yeah, but he's been a hero in a lot of movies, so
But Fassbender could probably really play a...
Yeah,
really
but you compare the two right now. Who looks more like the hero? The hero has to be the underdog. It doesn't look like he can take the villain.
Mm-hmm.
When you put Fassbender as the hero and McAvoy as the villain, Fassbender looked like, in general, he could take McAvoy. So...
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Hollywood can make Fassbender look different.
I was about to say, you really think they would do that, though?
No.
You can credit and faith in Hollywood right now.
Well, look what McConaughey did.
That's McConaughey, though. That was limited. He's done limited release shit.
Okay. But, yeah, Fassbender, he can play, like, a German... I could see him in a war movie.
I say you put them in a spy movie together.
Mm-hmm.
I say, if you really want to go that, then make a Fassbender James Bond.
We've already discussed that one.
I know. I say make him James Bond and make McAvoy James Bond villain. That works better, to be honest.
That could actually work because McAvoy does have that look that he could be like an evil madman.
Especially if he keeps his hair he had in Days of Future Past and just put it in a ponytail on the back. Yeah.
With the beard.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep that or whatever. I would like to see that personally.
I could see that.
If we gotta go that route, then that's how I want to see that done.
But people will get pissed off if a German guy is Bond.
The UK would get pissed off.
But Fassbender could play a Bond villain too.
That is true. I personally think he would be amazing as Bond. I mean, I think he would pull that off. Like, if you like, he wouldn't even give a shit about the difference. But once again, maybe it just goes back to. Maybe we can create another Bond character somehow and put him in the role. I would love to see him do something like that as like a Ocean's 11 or something like that, personally. I personally would love to see him and McAvoy team up instead of all this bickering they do together in these X-Men movies. Come on now, guys. Bro hugs.
But it works, though.
It does work. They are fucking convincing. I love that scene on that plane. That plane scene was... Oh, that was intense.
McAvoy, he stood out.
Really did. He stood out like by far. Like, really, you learn more about Charles Xavier in these scenes he has in this movie than any of the other X-Men movies.
True.
You learn more about Charles Xavier in these movies than the first three X-Men movies put together. That's a damn shame. One thing you learn about him in the third one is that he died sick.
Well, maybe.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. All full of surprises. Never mind.
Fucking bullshit. That means he can never die.
Pretty much. I mean, they pretty much just set up he can't die now, so it's like, alright, whatever. Hello, people. That's been another edition. That's been Throwback to episode 51. I'm the phenomenal one. MovieSportsPodcast.com.
Z from thefancritic.com.
And we will catch you people next week. Later, bastards.
Later.